Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we on the air, we live.
Yeah, we sure are.
Yeah.
You only want to call. Hold on for a second.
Good evening. Welcome back to Indigenous Voices of People. I'm your host tonight, Jabril Salam. Chinupa Glue High Money and Strong Bear Amin Abdullah LB. Once again, we're back on Indigenous Voices of People. Welcome you back to the show. We had a pretty nice show as a reopener last night. And we're back on tonight. So we're going to open up with a prayer. We had a lot of guests last night. Not too many topics. I think we were just getting reacclimated to coming back on the show. And this is your show, folks. Indigenous Radio Talk Radio. Indigenous Voice of the People, where we discuss issues, different things going on in different reservations and all across Turtle Island. Things happen in Indian country which the general public is unaware of. We try to bring that awareness to the general public so people will keep it in the forefront that we Indians, we still exist. We still own this country. And we still in the forefront. We're going to start with a prayer. We're going to get into some heavy topics tonight. So we welcome you back. Thank you, all your listeners and participants. And we'd like to remind our call-in audience that if you're in the car and so forth, you got background noises, mute your phone so we don't have to mute you from the studio so that your background noise doesn't disturb whoever's speaking. And then when your phone number is called off, we only call off your area code and your last four digits so that not to give out your whole phone number unless you want to share it with someone, that's up to you. But when we call off your area code, your four digits, last four digits of your phone number, you can come in and speak and comment on a running topic that's already being discussed, or you can open up a new topic. And please be respectful of other people's opinion and their idea, because we're all different and we all see things in a different light, yet we're trying to get to the same destination, solve issues and problems with great solutions. So we're going to start with a prayer, and we'll try to end tonight with a song as usual, and I open with a prayer. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. And I want to translate that for those who don't know. That is, in the name of the Creator, beneficent and merciful, all praise be to the Creator, the most forgiving, most merciful, owner of the day of judgment, the alone to be worshipped, the alone to be asked for help. Show us the straight way, the path of those who earn thy favor, not the path of those who earn thy anger, nor of those who go astray. And this is our prayer to the great mystery, the one great creator of the heavens, the earth, and all the creation in between. We as a people, we were taught in our traditions to pray to our Creator, to honor our Creator who gave us life, who gave us parents, who gave us all the gifts that we enjoy in this life, and gave us all of these bounties and things that we have at our disposal, and gave us this responsibility of the custodian of earth and all its inhabitants. And we thank the Creator for parents and grandparents, brothers, sisters, cousins, extended kin, neighbors, elders, ancestors, so forth. All these gifts the Creator gave us. The Creator is the only one that is singular, is one. Everything else has either a twin, an opposite, is dual, plural, opposite, many of them, or two of them are opposites, like day and night, left and right, up and down. And our position in this side of things, on this side of the world where things are tangible and things are seen and unseen. Some people don't believe in unseen. Well, they live it every day. You don't see oxygen. You don't see gases, but they exist. You breathe it every day. That oxygen exchange you get from the trees and the shrubs and so forth, they give oxygen and they take the carbon dioxide that you breathe out, that you exhale. So there's an exchange. That sister, the tree, she has that bark on like her dress. She blooms her flowers. She gives us nuts, berries, flowers, so many things, paper, homes, shelter, so many things she gives to us, our sister, the tree, which is a gift. And if you look at the lungs inside of our chest, of each and every one of us, it resembles the structure of that tree. You look down the trachea, you look at the branches of the lungs, and you look at the alveolars on the ends of them. It's like the leaves. Those airways are like the branches, and that trachea is like the trunk of the tree. It's upside down. And the tree is a life giver. It gives new life. So in some of our indigenous cultures, like our Lakota, Nakota, Dakota, and a lot of the Western tribes, they have what's called a sun dance. And in that sun dance, they give respect because the tree symbolizes the rebirth and the renewal every year. That sacred tree bring new life every year, every spring. The earth wake up from its dormancy, and it gives us a new beginning every year. And this is one of the bounties of the great creator that's given to us. And we're reminded of that, those malaikas, those angels, the messengers, those that carry the prayers to the heavens. And in our culture as Indians, as the indigenous people, that's why we revere the eagle. The eagle is a bird of prayer, the prayer bird. He carries prayers. They say those winged creatures, they carry prayers all the way to the arsh, to the throne of the great creator. When we make those prayers and we send them up. So we're going to open up with some topics from yesterday. We were discussing some very great issues. We'll turn it over to you, Strong Bear. Open up, with some things from yesterday in Chinooka.
Yeah, I hear you. I was talking to my sister day for yesterday, and I was explaining the situation in Dakota about the killing of Dakotas. She was saying it was a phrase from a long time, only good Indians are dead Indians. I said, whoa. So that kind of hit me because, as you know, like Snoop was saying, that we are all still at war with the United States, but they're using the same old taxes, but a different day and a different year and a different century, but the same old taxes, constantly revised. And, you know, to pay off your enemies, to pay off the people as close to you, and to filtrate your ranks. So, you know, the same old, but in a different era. So with that, we're saying that the best thing and the most important thing you can do is is be independent. You know, and when you're independent, you don't have to worry about these people coming on you, or have your foot on your neck, because you determine who you are and what you are. They don't determine who you are. You determine your own faith and your own struggle if you're independent and self-determination. But if you're under that governance structure, they have a right to tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, because there is your leader, they're your creator. Because if anybody can tell you what to do and how to do it, and tell you, you know, what time to go to bed, when to go to bed, what time to eat, they consider them as not only your creator, but your boss and everything else. So to get under from under their feet, that's what you call the independence and self-determination, where you determine who you are. No one knows who you are until you let them know you are. So with that said, turn it back over to John.
All right. I want to make a comment on that first topic which you brought up, which is we suffer a lot of killings by the hands of those who supposed to be acting in trust of our lands and our finances and so forth, because all the agreements with them with the colonial establishment was that they will hold the lands in trust and that they will cooperate with us if we were to adapt some of their ways of life and allow them to settle peacefully without conflict. Well, we never started any of these wars. We never started any of these conflicts. We've always been a peaceful people who want to live in peace. Our definition of war, in the respect of dispute with another tribe, it never resulted in taking of life. It never resulted in savagery and butchery and debauchery. This wasn't our way. We had honorable fights. In the Southeast, we play a game. It's like they call it, they've named it, the name escapes me. It's we call it stickball, but they call it rugby. That's just the name I was looking for. In the East, over in the European countries, they call it rugby. Well, they get that game from us. Well, when we, any of our neighboring tribes, we had any fight or dispute, we would take it out on that field, whereas we have a stick and a little net, you know, a little ball, and we go back and forth and we go. It was a brutal game. Now, don't get me wrong. You get busted up, you may need some stitches and some patching up after the game, because it was a brutal game. It was, you know, like football is a brutal game. And some of the sport games, you know, today, contact sports, they call them. Well, it was a contact sport. And in the West, well, my Uncle Louie and my brother Chinook and them, they had what's called counting coups. They would raid each other's camps, and some of the other tribes were known raiders, where they would run in, steal horses, like somebody took your car. With your car, you knew where your car was at. It's over the hill with this, at another camp. Well, they would go back and forth, taking horses, so forth, and they were to run up on the enemy, touch that enemy, and get away from that enemy without getting injured or struck was an honor. You got an honor feather put on your coup stick. We had a different means of expressing. And in our culture, if someone killed someone, then there was a choice of taking the life or taking him as a member to replace the member he dispatched, or he pay a fee, a blood money. And that would be up to the council of the elders, you see, of that family. So we had honorable ways of doing things. This three-branch government that they operate on, that they talk about in America here, they got that from the indigenous people, the Haudenosaunee, the Six Federation tribes of the East Coast, you see. So we are honorable people. We are people who believed in the great creator, and we're the people who respected Earth. But we suffer a lot of killings and a lot of debauchery and a lot of lies and so forth. Why? Because the people who settled here, who we gave a home to, we gave a life to, a lot of them, they came here, they were peasants, they were refugees, and they came, most of the Europeans that came to this country, they came by way of work, slavery. They were servants of a hierarchy, of a king, of some authority other than themselves. They didn't have independence. They didn't have self-determination. So they came here, and now this thing has brewed. It has brewed and brewed and brewed and brewed, and now it's subversion, undercover. It's not as open as it used to be, yet it is still open. Only thing that's changed is the uniform they wear, and the faces have changed from one face to another. But these same ill practices are still going on. And we, as the people on the forefront, let's bring it to an end. Well, how do we bring this to an end? We just had one of our Lakota brothers killed, and alleged that he was doing something that is far beyond his M.O. Even the people, all the people there, they know his the way that he operates and carries himself. You know, he lives free and openly. He doesn't even live in a house. They call it homeless. Well, why is he homeless? Why? Because people made him homeless. Why does he have these social ills? Because the people enforced this upon the people. And then they murdered the people. They killed, you know, they killed the brothers. And we get these stories over and over and over and over. Our human rights office is fighting several cases all over the country right now for families whose loved ones have been killed by the establishment of these European people who have no moral compass. They have no moral constituent to stand upright. So they practice these kind of colonial policies against indigenous people. For what reason? For their own ambition, for their own gain, for their own notoriety. And these are the people of Jahannam. But the Creator say he have a place in the Akhira, in the afterlife. They will burn, where he will punish them. He's going to punish them in this life. He's going to punish them in the grave. He's going to punish them on the judgment. He's going to punish them in the afterlife forever. And it's our duty as a responsible people to stop them. When you see a wrong, put a stop to it. And with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you see a wrong being done, stop it with your hand. If you cannot stop it with your hand, speak out against it. If you cannot speak out against it, at least hate it in your heart. And that's the weakest of the three. When we in the warrior position, we stop it when we see whatever it is. We stop it with the hand. We speak out against it, and we hate it in the heart. You see abuse going on, step up and put a stop to it. Step up and say something about it. Don't be a chicken and just sit back and, well, I don't even want to say that, that's disrespect to the birds, who they call chickens. But don't be one who is afraid. Stand up. The Creator will give you the fortitude to do that and the wisdom to what to say and how to do it. So as we lose people, we had a big protest going on out in South Dakota where the Gateway Hotel wanted to throw the Native people out and making statements of the best Indian is a dead Indian. We don't know who's a good Indian, who's a bad Indian. This is ridiculous because they got people of all races come there and rent rooms, party, drink, do drugs, have illicit sex, all of the crimes against humanity. They didn't throw them out. They didn't abuse them. And then they kill one of ours and say, this is an example. They're making an example. But we have to get to the bottom of these issues, solve these issues, and bring closure to these issues and put a stop to these kind of things so they don't continue. We used to have a confederacy. When we gave them this authority to be here and to operate here, they went to Constitution. Yet they don't live by the Constitution. They don't abide by the Constitution. So we must bring this to their attention and to the forefront. Some of them, they want to do good. But some of them, they're totally corrupt. So those corrupt ones, they have to be addressed. So I turn it back over to you, Stromber. I mean,
Erico 971-2285. You have the mic. That was
Okay,
where you calling from. What's your name?
Nide.
Huh?
Okay, Niskani's relatives. Nide from the Bakani Nation. I'm Black Crow, and I agree with what was just shared about Colin Coop. Colin Coop was a great honor. We didn't believe in taking life unnecessarily. And we are in a silent war since they broke the treaties. I mean, that was a peace treaty to stop wars, and well, they broke it. So there's a silent war, and it's just they fooled the people, thinking we're living in civilization when it's the evidence is all around us, corruption everywhere. They're killing our people. It's evidence. Uh-huh.
Area code 734-0196. Do you have anything more? Do you want to elaborate on the top, or do you want to speak on something else? You got the mic.
Assalamu alaikum. It's your brother Ali.
To my
people on the res, Oki, LCO, Hal, Hapola. It's a pleasure being back on with my brothers. Hear so much words of wisdom. I just can't, say how elated I am at this point in time, just to know that we have this back as a tool to work with to get this message out to our people. And I just want to be, share my gratitude for y'all taking the liberty, Brother Tanuka, people on the rails, or Jabril, Solomon, and everybody else. But on the other subject matter, in terms of how we're being done, I'm still searching for a direct solution other than just marching. And because I've known for over the years that marching and speaking out has its value, but it doesn't seem to yield the type of results that we need to heal our people. So if anyone could just, share with me or make that a subject or a topic to converse at this time, I would appreciate it. What would be a direct, I guess my question is, what would be a good direct solution that would yield better beneficial results at this particular time?
Marching and protesting and singing, look at what does it ever do? I mean, what does it do? Everything has a time and place, but How many times have people been marching and singing throughout the history and time, and what did it get them? They throw a little bone here, a little bone there, and then as the people settle down, go back, and they start the same old crap up over and over again. So, my feeling is this: marching and singing is, but action is much better. If you can take action and do something more than marching and singing, I think it would be much more better than just doing that.
My point exactly. That's pretty much what I'm trying to get to, is that we've been doing this for so many years, and it doesn't seem to have yield any type of... I mean, it's almost like you're in the second place. You spin a roll, and then you end up in the same place wherever you went. I think we need to try to search out more beneficial remedies that can bring us more results. And I know it's a hard task and a hard challenge, but I think it's doable if we continue to bring ourselves on a uniform, position, meaning more unity.
Yeah. I noticed that, I'm just throwing out there that if I notice that we deal in the court system, and when we notice for a fact that when you show them that you're not scared of them, and you're willing to stand up and fight them, they have a thing. They usually respect you and back down. But if you show that you're scared of them and you many mouths don't want to say nothing to them, they come at you even worse.
Right. I agree. Right. So, that's just what I want to add, add it as a topic, and see if we can start formalizing different concepts and ideas that that we can basically think about, or try to figure out something that we can use that would give us a little more leeway and advantage to us objective, bringing our people back to a conscious reality.
First of all, most you got to show them that you're not afraid of them, and then take action. You know, I mean, that's my point of view. Maybe somebody else might have a different point of view. But like I said, about me being in the forefront and being out there, that's what I see. You know, so.
Yep.
You know,
don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, you know, downplay what we're doing in terms of, like, this platform, for example, now, which I'll put together. This is this excellent platform. And
yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying,
personally. Right, right. And, you know, with the Human Rights Division, all that is great. That's the big plus. But at some point, we need to, you know, come together. Like, I don't know, did my sister-in-law come on the show yesterday, even Tyler?
Who came on the show? That was Marlon Bear Cubs. She came on your show yesterday. But
so I'll continue to do that. You know, try to see if I can, you know, drum up as much people that I think is interested, those that I feel is those that, you know, have our direct concern in mind. And,
okay.
You know, try to be a contribution in that respect. And any other contribution we can work towards, you know what I'm saying, we can work together with, you know, my brothers and sisters that serve the reservation and, you know, and share different type of topics and, you know, whatever we can do in terms of helping each other out. I think that would be a great benefit.
That's
it.
Erico 505-0162. State your name, where you calling from, and what's your concern?
Okay, I'll call. Can you hear me?
Okay. Do you have anything you want to contribute, or you just want to just listen and say something at another time?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I hear you personally. I can hear you.
Okay, I wasn't sure which
yeah, we hear you.
Okay, good. You know, they invaded our country, the Lakota. They invaded us. That's what happened. The President Grant gave an order for the cavalry to go in, to let settlers go in, settle the land, and start mining. You know, that was an invasion. It was a direct violation of that treaty. And that treaty itself was never really valid because it was forged. You know, so I just want to let you know all of that. And then, you know, back in the old days, like me, I gave up my passion, I risked my life, I risked my freedom for the people. I made it through. Nowadays, you can't do that. Wounded knee is over with. They wasn't going to let us walk out of Wounded Knee any other way. They had mortars sitting outside in the perimeter. They cut those buildings almost in half with them 50 caliber machine gun bullets.
Mm.
You could stand inside that building and have a shoulder height and see outside all the way around. And so they weren't going to let us out. They can't do that nowadays. You know, they'll come in on you. It's heavy stuff. And they'll just overwhelm you with their force of arms. So now, today, everything's changed. You know, it's like you got to be diplomatic and negotiate to empower it. So, you know, we're talking about basically fighting with words. And the only way to combat all this stuff that's going on is to get rid of the system that's causing it. And that's the right system that's there. Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming,
Montana, North Dakota government. And you know, the way we can do that is if we all get together and use our words, not protests and demonstrations and all of that, no. Go straight to the United Nations independence there and let them vote on it. If it doesn't pass through, you know, try it again. But you got to keep trying. Anyway, that's the only solution to the problem, people. So, you know, if you really want to do something, then get behind that. Start promoting that, supporting it, and do whatever you can to move it forward. I'm almost 80 years old right now. So, you know, I haven't got too much longer to go with this deal. You know, you guys don't want to wait that long to get something going, you know. I sent some representatives to the United Nations and the UNPO many years ago. And for some reason, they failed to take it to the United Nations Security Council. So I'm still waiting for that to happen. And, you know, so that's where we're at with that. No.
Much appreciated, brother.
There we go, 505-3576. State your name, where you're calling from, and what topic you want to discuss.
It's Tahisha Hart, Salem, Virginia. I listen to everything that's been said, but I would just like to add a situation like you were talking about marching and all this stuff here, but I looked at Ukraine and the little Jewish president over there standing up against Putin. I mean, he doesn't have much to fight with, but he's still fighting for his country. He's trying to still fight and hold down what he has there because they're just killing them people right and left over there. I mean, just demolishing their homes and killing women and children. And they give them warnings to get out of the country. And before they even could get out of the country, they start killing them right and left. But this young Jewish fella is still trying to hold his ground with these people. And that's what we got to do here in the United States as Native people. We got to hold our ground. We got to be able to stand up against these people and make it known that we're not afraid and we're not going
right.
Anywhere. That we have to be strong and face this devil, because that's what he is, the devil. All these people that want to take everything away from us and leave us homeless and leave us stripped of all our values, stripped of all our language and our culture, that don't make sense. I saw an article today where Hawaiians are getting stripped of their language, that they're not supposed to be speaking their language, the English language, and that's wrong. Why you want to take our language away from us? You know, if you don't understand us, then learn the language. Why do we have to speak your language so you can understand us? It don't make sense, you know? And, That's all I
got to
say on that.
Yes, ma'am. Much appreciated. I agree.
Area code 406-5023. Take where you're calling from, your name, and your topic.
Yep. Hello. This is Jenny Manyhunt. Calling in from the Blackfeet Pecani Reservation up here in northwest Montana. Listening to what you guys are all sharing with us, you know, and it really helped, like I said before, many times before, it helped me to understand that the things that we're talking about and sharing with it, these things are real. It's not something that you can just make up. You know, we don't read this out of a book. Up here in our territory up here, we just got through basically removing the chairman, but they chose to keep him in the council. What happened is he was the chairman, his boys, his own kids were dealing meth, and now there's a fentanyl on our reservation. They recently did a bust while the chairman went up to Canada to the Blackfoot Confederacy gathering. What happened was somebody reported a vehicle that was parked, and it sounded like they, you know, were loading a gun or something. So they called into the police. So the police go to, you know, look for this vehicle, and it's sitting there. So there was two guys in that vehicle. The driver was a man from down south in Mexico. Okay. So anyway, they end up searching that vehicle. They found two weapons. They found 32 grams of meth, and they found a locked box. When I got to open what, there was thousands of pills of fentanyl. Okay. They just recently signed a state of war, or not state of war, but emergency. Emergency because there was 17 overdoses and four of them died. Mm-hmm. So when the chairman was up there, the chief of police, Jess Edwards, goes ahead and decides to do a search warrant in the trailer that the chairman lived in, and his boys were all living there, his kids there. So they do that warrant to go search. They arrested all of them for charges for having, you know, meth and contraband, all kinds of stuff, even to the children, you know. And so they got a bunch of charges on them, okay? So when the part about, you know, what really questions everything is this chairman knew that his kids were on, you know, drugs and stuff, okay? Because when he was in up in the IHS housing, they tested his house for meth, and, you know, and there was meth that, you know, it come up. So high reading. Huh? And then they found eagle feathers from one end of the house to the other. So he, you know, they asked him, why does he have all those feathers? You know, you should have a permit for all those, you know, but he didn't have one. So they end up leaving, getting kicked out of that housing at the IHS and moving into this trailer where he would live. When he come back from Canada after he heard what happened, that his kids got, you know, arrested, they went and searched his trailer and they hauled them all out of there, you know. When he come back, he was supposed to have court that Friday. When they went to court, all they got was misdemeanors. And the reason why that happened was because he don't want the drug enforcement on our reservation because his kids were fully into it, you know, selling drugs. They just passed a resolution, maybe not even 5-6 years ago, that anybody gets caught dealing drugs on our reservation, they get banished. Mm-hmm. And there was only one that got banished so far. See? So when we went into that meeting, the general meeting Thursday, we asked for him to be removed, but they already knew, you know, this is like all over Montana, different states are all hearing about this, even up in Canada, what took place. So asked for the removal of him, and plus the CEO that they hired on for IHS Matusiak, for all of, you know, how he's treating our people and everything, and what he fired a whole bunch of black people, and, you know, and what happened is they basically knew that, you know, the people wanted him out of there too. So we asked, you know, for him to be removed. So everything happened as far as getting rid of that chairman. As far as getting rid of that chairman and that CEO. So they all voted, including the chairman himself. He voted himself out. But then he decided to leave him on as, you know, the council, but he's not the chairman now. And then for the Matusiak, they terminated him. He'll be out of here May 1st. this is the guy that, you know, comes in, you know, and he just treated people bad, start firing them. Well, they only had one ambulance and, you know, just a bunch of craziness, you know. So the people were calling, a couple of the elderly women were calling me, asking me if I knew anybody else that got the Matusa yet, because of everything that he's causing.
Have all of you be on this radio show with me? Huh? Yeah? Yeah? Do we agree to it? Yes? Okay, here it is. Our radio show. Song. Yeah, you can say something on there if you want to.
All right. So anyhow, that's where we're at up here on our reservation. There's a lot of corruption, everything going on here. And the people are trying to come together, mainly the women, but then we get all these hackeries and everything and shit, you know, that talk against, you know, the people that are trying to wake up our people because of what's taking place. It's like they don't know what change really is and what's really coming. I tell them, you know, we got to get prepared for what's coming. And there's no leadership. We don't have real leadership here, you know. Of course, when Earl Oakerson died, when he left, I said, he left us in a standstill. We don't even know what rights we still have left as humans, you know? But we have to figure it out now. So a lot of the people are in question about everything, you know? We don't know who to trust. You know, we don't know who to really, you know, share anything with anymore, because as many protests we have done up here, when we took over the office and everything, other states that know what's taking place up here, because they block out the media, they choose what's going to be in the paper and what. We have to do it physically, I tell them. We have to get loud, you know. We can't just be sitting on, like we're targets, you know. And for those wars going on across the ocean, we got to pay attention. Yeah, we got to learn something from what's happening over there, because that's what they're trying to do to us right here. They're getting set up for it. And if people don't believe it, then I don't know what the hell you're paying attention to, you know? Everybody is all into, you know, the electronics. I said, but those old ones spoke about these things. We're at those days when those old ones are speaking about. They have that gift to know what was coming before it got here. So we can prepare for it. That's how our people survived since they got here. And now today we have all these tribes going through the same thing in each and every direction of us. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we connect with one another to really think and talk reality? You know, feel reality. Have we been going at this for how long? You know, and each time somebody says they went out there, they went out there, they went out there. Okay, so nothing changed. When is it really going to happen? And we have to quit thinking that the business councils are going to do all this for us. That shit, they're not doing nothing for you. We, the people, have to do it for ourselves. We got to figure it out. How do we continue to exist in this world that still wants to destroy all of us? And if it's true, and I have no doubt in our own ones, that we were created to never be destroyed. We belong to her. She'll destroy us. You know, if we don't wake up. But she'll destroy them before they can destroy us. I always think about that. There was something given to us, and what is it, you know? They all want to know something about us and learn about us, and they put it in a book and go sell it. That's where it goes with them. But us, no, we still going through what's going through. So that's as far as I want to go, you know. There's a lot happening.
That was supposed to go to Robert.
Charlie.
Okay.
Thank you,
so, 605.
Excuse me, this is Chinupa, real quick, okay? You guys came on the radio show at the exact time, and I'm in a support group meeting here in Rapid City with a lot of our Lakota people in the community of Pennington County. And so I thought I would give everyone a chance to at least say hello to all of you. And whatever resolve that you guys are all part of to try to make a difference on what we are all struggling with in Indian country, I would love to do that for you because there's a large handful of Native people listening in to you guys. And I told them that I said, hey, would you guys like to be on a radio show? And what I'm going to do is take the phone around and give everybody a chance to introduce themselves to you, if you don't mind, on the radio show of the Voices of Indigenous People. Do you mind?
No,
no,
go ahead. That's what the radio station is for.
Okay, okay. So we're going to start this off. I'm going to hand it over to this brother here, and he can introduce himself.
Petu Astrello, this is Braver, and nice to make you guys' acquaintance.
All right. That's Bill Braver. Here's another one.
Well, glad to listen to you guys' show. This is Gene Tyon from Rapid City, South Dakota.
Hello, my name is Cynthia Stantz, and I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota, and it's good to be on your show.
Hello, ladies. My name is Nora Runsclose, and I'm a native to Rapid City, South Dakota.
This is not our, this is your show also. No, this is what it was created for, Indigenous Voices and People. You Indigenous, and you part of the show too?
My name is Virginia Black Elk, and I'm from Rosebud and Pine Ridge. Say hello.
Hello. My name is Pansy Hawkwing. My legal name, the name I go by is Chetta Hawkwing, and I live here in Rapid City for over 50 years. I am from Pine Ridge. I participate in ceremonies are my lifeline. That's what my life is all about. And I'm bilingual. I still speak my Lakota language and reasonably well command of English language also. Thank you.
Okay. That's good. Greetings to all. Glad we had the opportunity to hear from you. Maybe one day we can meet y'all.
Oh, I'm glad to watch that. Ole, Katanka is not a energy match of Lakota, I tell you. My white surname is Robert Redness Rattling Place. I've been in Rapid City. I resided here in Rapid City back in 1987, and been here ever since. And I'm here with the meeting here, learning and learning a lot of things, a lot of cuss words.
Hello, my name is Tony Matapalu. Hello, my name is Abtalanachalahilu.
That was my little brother Charles and my cousin Robert that gave their brief introduction to you guys. But we are in a process of holding this meeting to find answers of and solutions on how we're going to establish things for our people that get released from the federal system and the state system to rehabilitate themselves to get, you know, publicized back into the community in good faith. And I thought I'd take that opportunity to get them all to introduce themselves on national airwaves so that way their voices get heard out there. And if you guys don't mind, I'm going to encourage all these listeners that every Friday and Saturdays from 5 o'clock to 6:30, McDuckie, if you're 5 o'clock to 6:30, Friday and Saturdays, the Indigenous Voices of People radio show is on. The phone number to it is 657. Again, 657-383-1630. Again, 657-383-1630. We have two more females that did not introduce themselves, so we're going to have them do that right now. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Is that the name or the
whole
name?
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Connie. I am from originally from Pine Ridge, South Dakota. I am trying to, I'm the one that got the group, I mean the meeting together, trying to get the prisoners, South Dakota Prisoner Support Group off the ground. And like you said, we really don't have no leaders to turn around and turn to help give us some support and help us along the way for our incarcerated ones, near and far. So hopefully everything turns out at this meeting, and hopefully on your end too.
That was Connie. Introduce yourself to the people.
Hi, my name is Paulette Means, and I just joined the group, and I'm here to support the meeting.
Right on. Now, people that are listening in, okay, I'm going to turn it back to you guys, because when somebody calls me in the public, I get involved right away. And so Jibril, Amin, Jenny, and many others that were talking on the show, we're going to turn it back over to you guys, and we're going to listen in. If you have any questions for any of these people that introduced themselves to you on the phone, go right ahead and ask, and we're going to continue on to listen to your show. Thank you. It's been a good one. Thanks for the honor for us to come on. I'm going to turn it back to you guys now. Go ahead.
Okay.
Will, are you there?
All righty. I just wanted to say it was an honor to Chinupa, you put all the people on and they introduced themselves. And we thank you and thank them. And do come in, do call, and do participate, everybody. We thank you for coming, and that's a great honor. We've been had the blessing of hearing your voices and you introducing yourself. I'm Jibril Salam, and from Detroit, Michigan. I'm in the Detroit area. And I just wanted to say that piece. Back to you, Amin.
Like, all the people that Tanuga brought on and introduced herself, I was saying, this is your radio show also. You know, it's a great pleasure of you, you know, introduce yourself. And we are glad that we get, you know, got to get to know you. Hopefully one day we can also be out there and meet you personally. So and hope and keep up the good work and hope everything, you know, be successful for you at the meeting. Remember that leadership starts with yourself. You know, you don't need someone to lead you as long as you know how to lead yourself and lead others. That's a leader. So remember, you can get a leader that's totally just no good. You know, so if you want to do something and you have the skills of doing something, you are considered as a leader. So leaders start with responsibility, you taking charge of something and getting it done.
If I may, before you guys continue on with your broadcasting, I want to take this opportunity to give you guys some enlightenment of what our brothers and sisters and our elders are doing here today. They are really looking at trying to safeguard our people that are incarcerated, and when they get reinstituted back into society, look for permanent outreach for them to protect their well-being. And if you guys don't mind, I'm going to give the phone number out to everybody. And that way they can call in personally and start, you know, having a collective dialogue, because if this search that we're obtaining out here to look out for our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated and do something positive and productive for our people, I need to get all of them to engage on the same topics, and they can use this radio show as an outlet to express your concerns. And so this is the avenue I want to. I'm going to put a grandma on right now. She's going to talk with you guys, if you don't mind. Do we have that okay?
Yes, you do. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to give her the phone so she can just, you know, express what she needs to. And here she is.
Ho, me take pi opila chicha pi chetan hawking evancha. I want to address one of the things we're discussing about working with the people that have been incarcerated and released. And many of them want to learn the language. Here's my thought on this. We have been attempting to do the same thing the same way expecting different results, and it's not going to happen. That just doesn't happen that way. We have been teaching people about the colors and numbers and all of that. That's not how our language goes. Our language, people who have difficulty learning our language because we're shame-based. Colonization has made us shame-based about our language. A lot of natives take languages like Spanish and German and French, and they learn it and they become fluent. Why is it they cannot be fluent in Lakota? Because we have not looked at the shame-based aspect of not being able to learn the language. So that's one area we need to look at. How it is we address the shame-based feelings about learning our language. We were made to feel like we were less than. We were made to feel like we were pagan and whatever. And so I think that's an area that we need to consider. The second consider, again, remember I said we have been trying to teach the language the same way year after year, expecting different results. Now, that I understand that's called insanity. So we need to approach it in a different way. I propose that we need to learn the language around our sacred rites, our ceremonies, our values, and our kinship spiritual base. We need to go into those and find people who can come up with some words to actively teach those in our language. I think there they'll feel better about themselves. They'll have a better understanding of what Lakota is and be able to learn the language. Again, think about the fact that many of our students, Lakota students, are taking German, and they're passing. They're doing well. They're doing Spanish. They're doing other languages and doing okay. Why is it they cannot do Lakota language? We need to quit trying to attempt the same thing with the same way year after year and wonder why we're not getting a different result. So that's my stand, and that's my story, and I'm going to stick to it.
Right on. That's a great acknowledgement, an elder. Okay, I got another gentleman that wants to share something with you. He'll introduce himself too. Okay, here he is.
Well, good evening, Metakiapis. My name is William Bravebird, and I come from the Sichangu, the Ashke. And I want to address the issues of the justices, the just us system that's only designed for European Western colonists. And the system of their law was designed by a high-priced society of liars or lawyers, if you will, continue to deprive of us of our human right. And legislative bodies in the state capitals and the national capital of writing legislative drafting crimes against humanity towards our people and justifying it through their court system. And you don't need a $200,000 juris doctorate degree to figure out the basic understanding of when you're being wronged by a dominant society claiming to be civil. And they shouldn't be trying to push the finger at Putin, because he only learned what he's doing now to his people from the United States, Calgary. And so the Department of Justice has never been able to address the issues here in Dakota Territory by depriving of us our human right and our basic right to defend ourselves. They appropriate our land and our resources while they exappropriate our right to redress those grievances, all in the name of their God, you know, the gold, oil, and drugs, you know. But I like to put the S because it's God's, because they like their sex too, you know, perverted as they are. But to address these issues from a national and international level, but most importantly from a very local level here, our people have been attacked, not only individually, but collectively as a society. And until Christianity understands that they're not the only ones on this planet and stop trying to eradicate the human race that who don't believe in this God or gods, they might come into the realization that they too are humans. But that's all I'd like to share. Appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, people that's listening on the radio show, listen, this is Chanupa Gloha Money from the Pioneer Indian Reservation. I'm up here helping our people in Miniluzaha, which is Rapid City in English. One of the things that my people are struggling to obtain is a vocal spot in the community of Pennington County, better known as Rapid City, is an avenue that can reach out to the public where we have a building established for us that receives public input and complaints vested upon how they are being treated in the vicinity of Pennington County, better known as Rapid City. I did make the suggestion to the crowd that I would like to see South Dakota create here in Rapid City the very first ever human rights office. The reason for that, none of this stuff is getting publicized when it happens to the death of our people, yet alone the ones that are incarcerated. We have many stereotypical Native people in the communities that propagate the behavior of what it is to be an indigenous man or woman. While these things are complicitly knocked out into left field, which nobody hits at when you play the game baseball. And the reason I made that subject as a segue to express more of the popular opinion, this will be the first, and it's never a first until we try to look at that avenue to promote and establish this human rights office in Rapid City. Because many states out there, and if you look at the black community, the black people have a majority of their colleagues inside the U.S. Senate, state, you know, Werthoff, the Capitol, you know, administration buildings, and they're serving the well-being of the community of the black people and other minorities concluded. So making this understanding as a forefront to get our people on board to see exactly what I'm talking about, because every time we take our complaints to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, we do not, and I repeat, we do not have an independent party that represents the rest of humanity in good faith. And as I said earlier on in this gathering here today in the community of Rapid City, helping my fellow tribespeople, you know, the males, the females, and our elders, I thought I'd bring that to light that it would be, and if we can get the support from the listening audience out there to put pressure on the issues of the indigenous people, you know, creating this, you know, human rights office, this will be the breaking point to put some type of segue to alleviate the stressful behavior of racial endeavors, racial disparity, and the hatred that South Dakota imposes on 9 reservations within its own state. I did say this publicly on national TV and radio, where I did ask the people, let's ask the state to erase their hate. And that slogan is out there now. And I was urging tribal governments and their representative government leaders, you know, that's the tribal chairman, to take that as an initiative. Because it's never a first until we try something like that, appropriated to meet the condition and the standards of why white America has always practiced and perfected colonial policies to neutralize those human rights. And so with that, I thought I'd turn it back to you guys again to give you guys some more understandings to it. And if you want something to answer with it, you can ask anyone that interviews. If you want to hear from somebody else, I'll turn the phone over to somebody else that wants to share what's in their heart.
I have a number of all ones. Do you want me to put these people in or keep them mute?
Say that again.
I have a number that says 111111. Do you want me to keep it mute or
that's
put
the
them on
fed.
There?
That's the feds. If it's a 111 number, that's the feds.
Okay.
Pay attention.
I got it.
Pay attention.
Okay, I just deleted them. Okay.
I just want to inject something in there. Everybody out there listening, audience, take a look at this. You were born individually into a collective, whether it be tribe, community, family, kinship. We come from a collective individually into a collective. And you were born independent, and you have to determine your path of life as you grow. So I would like for everybody to take a look at self-determination and independence as an individual and as a collective. In order for us to be successful in our quest for freedom and independence, we must reassemble as a collective so that our voice has force. It's not just one person or two or three people out on the front line expressing freedom and independence, but we as a whole people from the Piikani Nation, from the Lakota Nation, from the Chalagi Nation, from the Navajo, from whatever tribe or nation you come from, that's your family. That's your extended family. But when you look at the big picture, we're all one family. And how did they take it from us? They divided us. And what do? They divided families. This COVID thing, what was it all about? Division. Well, still, they're trying to divide the household, divide the family, run the kids off at 18, put the parents in the elderly home. Always division. So we must look at this as a collective. The Creator, He liked for us to be together, to be a whole. So in order for us to realize true freedom and independence, let's stand together, let's think together outside of the box, and express our independence from our own self within. If our tribal leaders are corrupt and they don't want to stand up and do the right thing, leave them to the wayside. We have to assemble it back ourselves with our elders who are for the independence, with our elders who are for kinship, with our elders who are for prayer and ceremony. Freedom and independence will only work if we implement it. And there's a lot of us out here on the front line, but we need the rest of our family to fall in line with us. So just think about that, folks. Freedom and independence and self-determination. We got so many writings and books on that, but most of the people are crazy. So you already have a leadership there on the front line. We just need you to step up and support us so that we can achieve our goals. And what is our goals? I don't want anything. Everything that I have, Creator, he supplied it all from the time I arrived here to the time I leave. So if we stand together and we move in that direction, we will be successful. It's guaranteed. Look at all the examples throughout time. Back over to you, I mean.
Remember, there's a saying that united we stand, divided we fall. Simple. We stand together, unite together, we have a voice. As you divide it, you have nothing.
Hello, can I say something here?
Sure you can.
This is Jenny. This is Jenny, and I'd like to thank all of you that spoke on the phone, you know, really thinking about those ladies that were talking about the ceremonies and what, you know. And I wanted to let you guys know that the family that I was born into this world was a family of the ceremony. My great-grandma, Sagaki, she was one of the original keepers of the Okan. The Okan is a Blackfoot woman ceremony. So in that ceremony, a woman goes into fasting with her husband or what, but it has to equal out to male and female. And it's an old ceremony. That's the original ceremony that was given to our peoples up here. That story, the ceremony comes with the teachings of earth teachings and the medicines, you know, and like all the knowledge that, you know, was given to our people from the first time they were created. So it goes with their creation stories, sky woman, feather woman, eagle woman, all that medicine that was given from the animals, even the bear comes, you know. So that was given to our women up here. Hmm? And that goes with the pipe. See? There's all those teachings that our people are not really understanding, because, you know, all of this colonization and this Christianity stuff. But, you know, I never converted. My grandma painted me, you know, protected me that way, and, you know, gave me my name, Apayaki. Hmm? So with that, you know, we try to bring that understanding back, but our people are too, you know, into this Christian stuff, you know. And I tell them, I say, you know, without the ceremony, we would not exist, because that was given to us because of times like this, especially times like this, to help us to remember who we are and where we came from. I said, I'm tired of this government system, this European Christianity ways, you know, what it did to our people. All those ones that were in those missionary schools, and the same teaching, their same education is still happening today. That's what really bothers me. Hmm? If we're going to bring back, they say, you know, this time we have to bring back the old ways. Yeah, we need to bring back the teaching. You know, the women need to go back to the ceremony. You know, learn who you are, because once you learn who you are, then you feel like, you know, they can't, you know, make me ashamed of who I am, you know, because now you have white people wanting to learn who we are, huh? I said, well, there's something matter with that, you know? So in some of the teaching, what's happening today was already foreseen, forespoken, and foretold. These days were coming, and we're at those days that those old ones were teaching about. As a young lady, when I went to the All Night Holy Smoke, the All Night Pipe Ceremony with my grandpa and grandma, Alpha Doofy, and Pusaki, okay, that my mom, my dad's mom and dad, okay. So when they would take me as a young child, experience, you know, how real it was back then, you know, it's not just holy, you know. And they were all, you know, in teaching, you know, the teaching was about the world and what, you know, and they explained it all in animal form. Mm-hmm. That was the original teaching. Now today you don't really hear that. When you hear it that way, it helps you to understand, you know, yeah, that the animal were here before us, and that's who we are, you know. We're all a part of an animal in this area, where any area you're at. Across the ocean, they would explain everything. But they had the gift to understand things that were going to happen before, you know. It came, so they were able to get the answer for people and prepare them for things like that. And that's what we need to do today, is the same thing. They're repeating their same evil history, greedy, you know, pale white man, you know. There's a story about it. I learned that when I traveled down there about the Wolverine woman. Hmm? How she come down there to Bearview and warned the people before, you know, they even got here. Hmm? So those things, we have to relearn our teaching. But the interpretation is mainly the big part of it, you know. Because how I see it, it was once a beautiful picture, you know. And when they came, it's like they scattered a puzzle, you know, we're scattered all over, and they killed all of our teachers that carried all that knowledge. Very few survived. My grandma and grandpa, they were in those days where they had to hide out the ceremony. Mm-hmm. So when I was a young child, we didn't have electricity or nothing like that, flowing water. They had to go haul the water and all that stuff, you know, live by candles or lamps and by the... We all talk about those stories, you know, and we're really raised with our old ones. But the teaching is what we were really being taught. Maybe a few kids, they say, you know, probably listen. I was probably one of them that, you know, in the teaching, how you sit, listen, and learn. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting, listening, learning from them, you know, and understanding our language back then. Now I'm trying to pick it back up, because what happened, you know, the court system here was fighting my grandpa after my mom died. My dad, you know, he got killed when I was 4 years old. So the court system kept fighting my grandpa, you know, giving us to her aunt, you know, my mother's family and what, and I told him, you know, how they were mistreating me, and one day, you know, and he basically prayed and, you know, sang, and he just told me, you know, to run, you know. So I ran from home. I was a young child. I was out in the street, you know, experiencing living with the hobos, you know, and the street people, all natives, but they took care of me. You know? They didn't bother me in any way. Because I tell them what happened, you know, what's going on and how young I was. I was 15 years old. So then I had to learn, you know, I learned at a young age, you know, but it always stuck with me. It always stuck with me. But once you're born into this world and what you see and what you're being taught, it always stays with you. It's within you. We don't lose that. And a lot of these ones today, they're trying to learn it. You know, even adults, they wish that they, you know, learn. We raised the traditional ways to understand the teaching. And I said, well, you know, we have to bring it back. When we talk about the old ways, we have to bring back the old ways. It means we have to come together. You know, we're going to have to help each other through this crisis that's coming. There's a lot more that's coming. So in China, you know, explain the most I can. You know, a lot of people that have knowledge, they don't want to share it. So, well, what was it given to you for? Oh, they'd rather sell it to the white people than teach your own, you know? Because, you know, that's what's hurting us. So you have to shut those things down. I shut one down up here, so I know it can be done. But I just want to thank everyone, you know, for really helping. It helped me to hear what you guys are talking about, because I pay a lot of attention to you guys, your people down there, what's happening down there, because I was down there. I know what racism is in Rapid City. You could feel it. Yeah. So, you know, it helps me to keep hope, to know that you guys are strong people down there. You didn't give up to the government system. Us up here, we're a corporate tribe, and gee, they're just trying to all come in, you know, and I keep telling our people we have to protect our territory. That's the only way they're going to take us out. Anything and everything that's happening today, even with these great and man-made sicknesses that they're doing, but gee, you know, they didn't kill enough of us, you know. 64 people died up here from COVID. That's a lot to us, you know, but to them, that's not enough. So we have to think like that, understand who our real enemy is today. You know, they're trying to come in and, you know, take over up here. So the people are, you know, kind of questioning right now, you know, what do we do? What do we do, you know? So we do need to ask for other help from other tribes, you know, to help us to, you know, get an answer to help us to stop what's happening up here too. But thank you guys, you know, all of you. And what the grandma had to say, you know, when I hear people talking their language, it makes me cry inside, because it reminds me of my grandmas and grandpas too. They were all hurting for them, you know, and we're living in a white world that is not ours. It's not our world, and but they're in control of it. But, and how do we stop that together? I know we have strong prayers, really strong prayers. So that's what I have to say.
That's good. You said it very well, very elegant. Thank you for that. Anyone else? We are we're 8:19, and we have very limited time left, people. So anyone have any else they want to say? But time's running out.
It's Brother Ali again from the Detroit area, Independent Eastern Woodland Nation. I just want to offer my gratitude again to Stan and for the Brother Snoop bringing the other members on to speak with us. It's a pleasure, and it warms my heart to realize and know that there are people that's trying to work with us and get us out of the dilemma that we're faced in. So I just want to add that.
And also, I just want to say that she's right. Only way we can defeat our enemies is that we unite together. Remember, back in history, that's how they defeated so-called custom. The three nations came together and defeated custom. And then after that, when they divided, they got individually picking off. So we don't want to make that as a mistake again. So we want to come together and be strong and unite and, you know, as one voice. And, you know, like I said, once you unite and come together as one voice, they hear you. Even though they might not want to hear you, but they hear you. And like I said, the old saying, you know, divided, you know, when you divide it, you know, there's no strength in division. It's strength in uniting. When you unite, you have strength. You know, you're not out there by yourself. You have a group of collective protecting you and fighting for you and fighting with you. But if you stand alone, most of the time you get defeated. So it's 8:21. Before, does anyone out there want to sing a traditional song before we go off the air? Anyone? Jenny? Do you wanna sing or have a song? Gilda, do you wanna honor us with a song before we leave? Okay, people. Our time is 7 o'clock this time, you know, Eastern time, Eastern Standard Time. Our time is 7 o'clock. So we are here every Fridays and Saturdays, and we will, and it's our pleasure, we welcome everyone back with them times, you know. And, you know, like I said, this is your show. And, you know, whatever topics you want to speak on and discuss, you're very welcome to do that. Because the only way, you know, for us to have something is that you be here and have something to say about this show. You know, because we don't want to lose this show again, you know, because, you know, it's a very valuable show. And I don't think there's too many shows in the nation like this show. So let's keep it up, you know, and keep moving forward.
Okay. I'll sing the song.
Okay.
Ayo, yo, no, 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 ayo. Ayo, no, 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 ayo. Hayo na ne na no hayo we ya he o Yahweh you ha he ya we yo 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 ne na ne no hayo hayo ne na ne no hayo. Hayo ne na ne no hayo we ya Yahweh you ha he ya we yo 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 ne na ne no hayo hayo ne na ne no hayo. Hayo ne na ne no hayo we ya he yo Yahweh you ha he ya we yo 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 ne na ne no hayo hayo ne na ne no hayo. Hayo ne na ne no, hayo we ya he yo, Yahweh you ha he ya we yo.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it, and it's very beautiful song. And we'll see y'all this next Friday and Saturday. And this is the Voice of Indigenous People. Have a peaceful and blessed night. Take care.
hope. And I want to love and trust.
Night.
Go to that. Go hot east.